Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the wonderful feast day of the Transfiguration of Christ on Mount Tabor. Before Pope John Paul II died, he had the inspiration to give us five brand new mysteries of the Rosary, the luminous mysteries. And the Holy Father, in his prayer and meditation, chose five wonderful events in the life of Christ for us to meditate upon every time we say those luminous mysteries. And he chose the fourth luminous mystery as the Transfiguration of Christ on Mount Tabor. And the Holy Father wanted us to have a time every week in our prayer to meditate upon this great event and just really what the Transfiguration meant for the Church and what it means for each one of us as well. On this occasion, the Lord took his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John, up the high mountain. They say he chose these three because these were the ones who would be with him in the agony in the garden. All the apostles, of course, were in the Garden of Gethsemane with him. But he would take Peter, James, and John further into the garden. And these would be the three that would see the Lord at his lowest moment. They would see the Lord sweating blood. And they say that the Lord took these three to strengthen them to be able to endure the agony in the garden, to prepare them for the scandal of the cross. So the Lord, it says, took them up the high mountain, and he was transfigured before them. He allowed his divinity to shine forth. Like that reading from the prophet Daniel, his clothing was white as snow, his hair, his whole features filled with light. They got to see what the Lord truly looks like. All during his 33 years, he hid his divinity under the guise of his humanity. But now he allows his true nature, his divinity, to shine forth. And they see the Lord truly as he was, radiant in glory. And then next to him appeared Moses and Elijah, the two greatest figures of the Old Testament. Elijah, the great prophet, Moses, the great lawgiver. So they represented the law and the prophets. And they were alive, of course, fully alive in God and conversing with the Lord about his upcoming death and his passion. This is one of the greatest scriptural images we have in the Catholic apologetics of the communion of saints. That when somebody dies and goes to be in the next life with the Lord, they're not dead. They're still alive. Their bodies have died, but their souls are still living, and they still have an interest in what takes place here on earth. It's one of the greatest scriptural passages you can use with our friends of other denominations to say, well, why do you ask Mary to pray for you, or Saint Joseph, or the apostles, or the saints, or the angels? Well, Just as Moses and Elijah were very concerned about the Lord's upcoming death and resurrection, so the saints in heaven are concerned about us, and they want to pray for us to stay close to the Lord. So Moses and Elijah are not two dead guys. They are living. Their souls are alive. They're conversing with Jesus, and they're talking about his upcoming death. Well, St. Peter wants to capture this. He does not want this event to pass away. And so he says, Lord, can I make three tents, three booths, which would indicate that this event took place in the fall during the feast of the booths, the Jewish feast, where they would set up tents and booths. But the Lord said, no. God the Father has to interrupt St. Peter, and he sends the Holy Spirit over Christ in the form of a bright cloud. And God the Father speaks, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him. So here we have the greatest manifestation of the Blessed Trinity in the New Testament. That's why when we designed the church, we wanted to have the entire sanctuary manifest the Blessed Trinity. So we were looking at different passages in Scripture that would capture the manifestation of the Trinity, and we chose the Transfiguration. That's why we have Christ, the Son of God, in the tabernacle right in the center. We have the baldacchino. The baldacchino is a structure either made of oak canopies in the early days of the church, or wood or marble or glass, which represents the cloud of God hovering over Christ at the Transfiguration. And then we have the voice of the Father in the universal language of the church. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And what will complete the Transfiguration event in the sanctuary is the images of Moses and Elijah that will go in those two arches. Beautiful paintings or mosaics or murals of Moses and Elijah. So that will complete this whole scene of the Transfiguration. The bright cloud of God, of the Holy Spirit represented by the stained glass, the voice of the Father, and the presence of the Son. So the reason why the Lord gave us the Transfiguration was to strengthen us in our faith. That the Lord knew that the early church would go through difficult times. They would have to go through the agony in the garden, the passion, and the death of Christ. But the Lord wanted to give them a preview of coming attractions. The Lord wanted to give them a foretaste of his future glory, the glory of the resurrection, but also his glory in heaven. And that's what this event means for the church. That the Lord did this to strengthen our faith and to strengthen our hope in future glory of the resurrection. So we look forward to heaven when we can see the Lord as he appeared to the apostles today. We look forward to that heavenly glory, that despite the difficulty of the cross and the suffering that we endure in this life, there's always that future glory that we look for in heaven. God bless you.